Father, we thank you for the teaching of the word. We open up our hearts to you. We pray that you'd reveal yourself to us this morning. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We pray for understanding today. Father, we are so grateful that you are present to minister to us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning, or yesterday, I started thinking, I'm hearing some people want to leave church because the pastor of the church does not have a suit. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna pull this suit out of my closet and I'm going to just dress up for the moment. Amen. So don't leave church. I do have suits. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. You're all looking awesome. Amen. All right. Now this morning, as we are in this moment of celebration, I've come to realize that there are so many ways of us showing our faith in God. You can reveal your faith in God in different ways. You see, you can show your faith in God by taking action in line with the spoken word. We receive a word, you hold on to it, you run with the word. That shows that you've got faith in God. Your faith in God can be shown by speaking out loud on what God has been saying to you. Paul says, "I have believed and therefore I speak." So a measure of your faith can be seen by what you utter, what you speak. Tells a lot about the condition of your faith. So many times when we are in that difficult space, we tend to speak out where we are. Waiting on God until we come through for you is a way of showing your faith in God. Now, as you can see, there are various ways in which we can express our faith in God. And this morning, I want to share with you one other way of expressing your faith in God. And this is what has inspired the title of my talk this morning. So I want to teach you this morning briefly on a subject matter, gratitude, a true sign of faith. Okay, gratitude, a true sign of faith. This morning, we are gathered in this moment, in this holy convocation, at a time where we're saying, let's put a stop to everything and let's do an introspection of where God has taken us from. Let's take a moment to look back in the past 11 months of 2021 and to be able to express our hearts towards God and say, Lord, you've been faithful. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been good to me. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. Hallelujah. I don't know about your family, but God has been good to my family. I don't know about your church, but God has been good to our church. Glory be to God. Now, gratitude is a true sign of faith. And I want to just teach you briefly around this matter. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This was one of the last remarks of Paul as he was writing to the church of Thessalonica. And he was telling them how to conduct themselves. And he found it prudent to remind them of this truth, where he said to them, in everything, give thanks. Hallelujah. Come on, speak to me this morning. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. This is one of those scriptures we should not just read through quickly. And it's one of those scriptures which we should not just quote, you know, as a habit. I know as believers we've been taught to learn scriptures by heart. But a lot of these scriptures we've just learned them by heart, but we haven't received revelation. A lot of believers have got big heads and small hearts. We know lots of scriptures, but we've not been able to walk in those scriptures because they haven't been translated into heart knowledge. It is heart knowledge that enables you to live what scriptures say. Now, Paul is saying, in everything, give thanks. Really? There is a deep truth in this place. This is such a relevant truth given our current circumstances, given what is happening already. If you are British, you'll be concerned because you can't go home, or if you go, you'll have to quarantine. We are all thinking now, Lord, are we going back into another lockdown? What is going on? Maybe there were green shoots in your business at work, things were improving, but now, with this new variant, we don't know what will happen in the coming few weeks. But Paul says, even in a new variant, give thanks. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter your circumstance. Paul says, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the big question we need to ask this morning and explore is it actually possible to give thanks to the Lord in everything? Is it actually possible given your circumstances? The implication of this verse is that you look at your most difficult circumstances and you choose to say, thank you, Jesus. Bye, donkey. All right? You look at your situation and you say, thank you, Jesus. You give thanks when you receive a letter of retrenchment. You give thanks when your health is ailing. There's no difficult time as waiting in the doctor's waiting room, waiting for your results, because you don't know what is in that on that paper. Anxiety grips your heart. You give thanks after having a conflict with your spouse. Some of these conflicts are so heated that you don't know if you wake up alive tomorrow morning. Come on now. You give thanks at the death of your loved one. A couple of weeks ago, probably a month ago, I lost my godfather. The one who took care of me from the age of 15. He went to be with the Lord. And up to now, I still wonder, can I still give thanks to the Lord given that situation? A lot of us have lost our loved ones. Are we able to give thanks? Not for the situation, but read carefully, in every situation. Not for everything. You might not be able to give thanks for the situation, but you give thanks in the situation. Those are two different situations. Paul is saying, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't give thanks for the valley, you give thanks as you go through the valley. This sounds insane and crazy. No person in their rightful state of mind should be giving thanks in those circumstances. Now you understand why I'm saying to us, gratitude is a true sign of faith in God. Put this down. In the absence of true faith, it is impossible to live a life full of gratitude. In the absence of true faith, it is impossible for you to give thanks in every situation. I want you to realize that we are in a fallen state. This world is not heaven. Trouble will come. We've got to adopt a different attitude in order to remain sane, given the onslaught on our lives. Paul lived and breathed gratitude, and yet he was one of those people who were most persecuted outside of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was the one who really suffered more than most of the apostles. From the beginning, Paul, before he became a believer, Paul was well-to-do. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was well-educated. He was zealous for God. He went about murdering and killing those of the way. But when he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life changed. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. What have you let go in order to gain Christ? What have you released in order to get closer to Jesus? What have you stopped doing in order to remain in the presence of Jehovah? Paul says, I have counted everything as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is the Paul who says, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. I'm sure some of you, when you heard us talking about today is a day of thanksgiving, you looked at your life and you say, what is there to give thanks for? What is there for me to celebrate in my life? The year has not been easy. I get you. I understand. But Paul is bringing another dimension of life. When you look at the life of Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23 down to 33, he starts reciting the journey that he went through as an apostle. Allow me to read it. I don't have it here on the slides. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23, I'm going to read it out to you. And I want you to just ask yourself whether, if you had gone through what Paul went through, would you still be able to say, rejoice in the Lord? I say again, rejoice. Would you be able to still say that? Do you know that Paul wrote that Philippians verse when he was in prison? When he says, rejoice in the Lord, I say again, rejoice. What was there for him to rejoice for? I don't know, but Paul had a revelation. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? Well, I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That is his CV. That is Paul's CV. I don't know what's written on your CV. And yet Paul still writes and says, rejoice in the Lord, I say rejoice. Paul was one of those guys who was filled with gratitude. Paul thanked God for the churches that he looked after. He said, in remembrance of your faith, I give thanks to the Lord. I thank you for supporting me. I thank you for standing me in prayer. He was grateful in his heart. It was his second nature. And I'm sure that kept him sane in the middle of persecution. Paul thanked God for the work of Christ in his life. And then on top of that, he encouraged every one of them, of the believers, to give thanks always. You see, there must have been something more deeper than what met the eye in the life of Paul that enabled him to be grateful even in those circumstances where whenever he turned to the right, there was danger. He turned to the left, there was danger. He tries to go backwards, there was danger. He walked forward, there was danger, but he still says, rejoice in the Lord. Come on now, somebody. Paul says, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. So he says, devil, throw whatever you want. If you kill me, it is gain. I meet the Lord. If I stay around, they receive Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whichever way, the kingdom of God wins. And that is the life of a believer. Paul had such an attitude that enabled him to keep on running. That is why he would tell people, run the race that has been set before you. Don't throw in the towel because of adversity. You see, I want you to realize that it is easy to give thanks when there's food on the table. To say, for the food we're about to receive, we thank you, dear Lord. Don't you make that prayer all the time? We thank him because we can see there's something on the plate. What happens if there's nothing on the plate? Are we able to say, dear Lord, I thank you that this plate will be filled one day? When I was in Cape Town, I was in a church that was very strong in prayer, and our pastor's wife would tell of the story of how when they started the church in 1993, they went through a difficult patch for probably 5-6 years, where in that season, for them to travel from Weinberg to where the church was located, they had to just try and run away from the security guard as they get in the train because they did not have money for train tickets. They would just try and hide and just make sure they avoid the security guards would come and ask for tickets. Our pastor's wife would talk about how she would call her 3 kids and they would lay hands on kitchen cupboards which were empty. They would pray and say, Lord, bless these cupboards. They would open their refrigerator and they would pray, lay hands on the fridge. Lord, provide. And they would speak of miracles of how God would make sure that there would be food. People would come through the door and bring food. That is why I'm saying to you, gratitude is a true sign of faith. Sometimes what we call faith is actually not faith. I don't need faith when I know that on the 25th of the month, my boss will pay me. No. But I need faith when I know I don't have a boss who will pay me at the end of the month. And my boss is God. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that it is easy to give thanks when you've been able to pay your rent at the end of this month. What happens when you've not been able to? And you know the landlord is going to come knocking on the door. Now put this down. Sacrificial thanksgiving comes out of extraordinarily harsh situations. Let that sink for a moment in your heart. The Lord is looking for a sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that dies. It is something that gives up its life. When you are able to give thanks to the Lord in that moment of grieving, it is like a sweet incense that goes up in the nostrils of Jehovah. Because you thank him not because he has done something good has happened to you. You thank him for who he is. Glory be to God. You see, your thanksgiving should stop from being ordinary to being a precious sacrifice before the Lord. You've got to tell your spirit and say, I will give thanks to the Lord, even when I don't feel like it. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it. In the book of Romans, Paul gives us a glimpse of what drove him to be full of gratitude. He gives us a picture which can help you and I to give thanks all the time. Which can help you to give thanks in the middle of adversity. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Wow, we know this scripture, don't we? Every believer can quote this scripture, verbatim. But allow me to just indulge your minds again. Around Romans 8, verse 28. Paul says, and we know. This is so important. And we know. Do we really know? Do we have a revelation of this? And we know that all things, not some of the things, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So Paul is saying, it doesn't matter your situation. We have an understanding that all things work together for good. There is a purpose of God upon your life. Paul says there, for those who are called according to His purpose. You are not living by chance. There is a purpose above that which we can think right now. Jehovah looked at your life and He bestowed a purpose over your life. And Paul says, because of that purpose, we know that things will work out for good. I want you to realize that God's purpose will be fulfilled even in hardships and sufferings. Recently, when I say recently, probably a couple of years, now I'm beginning to understand or to appreciate some situations that used to bother me a lot. And I'm sure some of you, this would bother you, and it has been bothering you. Why would God allow a father with young kids to die? Why would that happen? And I know a lot of believers struggle with dealing with loss of loved ones. And I know there are some teaching that will tell you that God is not involved in the death of people. I want you to know that God is in control of every situation. There's absolutely no situation that God is not in control of. Death will happen. Sickness will happen. But in the middle of all of these troubles, God is still sovereign. You know, I remember attending the funeral of one of our pastors a couple of years ago. And I was there in the auditorium. He had left 4 kids. My heart was grieving and broken because I lost my dad at the same age of some of the kids. And I'm like, Lord, I know what this means for these little ones. Now what? And I remember the Lord just challenging me in that moment, saying to me, do you think that I have lost the ability to look after these little ones? And this morning, I don't know what you went through this year. God was not oblivious. God was not caught by surprise. Like, oh, by the way, this has happened. No, He is sovereign. And He brought me back to my own life where I lost my dad when I was 15. But I look at how God made a way. How the Lord provided for me. How He took me from that place of being an orphan to a place of more than enough. Hallelujah. Showing that God is in control. No matter how dire your situation is, God has not lost control of your situation. That is why Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good. Even when things don't make sense in our lives, all things work together for good. Put this down. Give thanks in every situation because its end is always for your good. I want you to know that the end of your circumstances is for good. And this takes another dimension of faith. And many believers have crumpled in their walk with God when they fail to reconcile adversity and the goodness of God. And this morning, I want you to realize that in the middle of adversity, God is present. When He was moving with the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, the Bible says He was a pillar of fire by night and He was a cloud by day. Meaning that even in your darkest moment, God is present. And in your brightest moment, God is still present. Hallelujah. When you live with a perspective of eternity, you can afford to be grateful in every situation. And somebody this morning needs to adopt a perspective of eternity to be able to say, Lord, in this I say thank you, because ultimately it will work out for my good. Paul says, for me to die is gain. For me to stay, it is Christ. Either way, things will work out for my good. Now let's go deeper into Paul's mindset. Romans 8, 29. A lot of believers just stop on verse 28. And we miss out the bigger context of that statement of Paul saying, we know that all things work together for good. Why was Paul so assured that all things will work out for good? You will find it in verse 29, where he says, this is the reason why he was so confident. He says here, for whom he foreknew, now talking about you and I, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. But whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That is so packed, saints. You need to have an understanding of what was going on here in the heart of Paul. Now, if you did English in grade 6 or grade 7, you understand of things called conjunctions. Okay? A conjunction is a joining word that joins the previous idea with the next concept. Now, the conjunction that Paul uses is for. Give me verse 20 and I just go backwards a bit. Verse 20 says here, for whom? In other words, what I have just told you, the things working out together for good is because of this. It is for this reason that things will work out for your good. What reason? So Paul goes into eternity past and he looks at what God did. He says here, for those whom he foreknew, I want you to realize that you were known before you were born. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. We see this in Jeremiah 1 verse 8, where God was talking to Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So from the beginning, before you and I were even formed in our mother's womb, God knew us. Okay? That's the first thing. So Paul goes into eternity past. He then comes close to the present and he says, those whom he foreknew, he followed through and he called. So he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You were born. He pursued you. The heavenly hound called the Holy Spirit, found you and called you into his kingdom. When he called you into his kingdom, he justified you. In other words, he made you as if you have not sinned. He made you into the likeness of Christ Jesus, his son. And therefore you have the righteousness which is not of your doing, but of the doing of Christ. So after he has justified you, Paul looks into eternity future and he says the Father is going to call you into glory. The Bible says those whom he has justified, he has glorified. Now Paul looks at this paradigm and he says, I was known before the foundations of the earth. The Father followed up and he called me, he justified me, and he is promising to glorify me at the end of life. Therefore, God is inherently good towards his people. Does that land this morning? Paul says, because of this nature that I find in God, I am assured that no matter what I go through, all things will work together for my good. This morning, saints, that is why we can afford to say, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. Put this down. Your faith in the goodness of God will cause you to give thanks in all situations. The reason why I'm coming to you in this manner, it is because the Bible says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. In this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We need to come to that place as believers where when everybody else is downcast, when everybody else is crying, we're able to lift our heads and say, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Psalms 121. David looked at his life and says, at some point I will be overwhelmed. And says, Lord, when I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Jesus is that rock that is higher than us. That is why we cry with hope. That is why we can stand up and say, in everything I give thanks to the Lord. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, there's a place where the writer says, I have gone to the fields. The vine is empty. I've gone to the kettle pan. The kettle pan is empty. There's absolutely nothing. And yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. And yet I will rejoice in the Lord. What has been your situation this year? To a place of realizing that God has not been overcome. God has not been defeated. And today we are in a place where we are able to say, Lord, for that which hasn't worked, I give thanks to you. For that prayer that I've been making for so many years, I give thanks to you. And in the same line, Lord, you have provided. Lord, I've got food in the house. I've got relationships, Lord. I still have my faith. A lot of people's faith has been shaken in this season. But because you are here this morning, your faith is still functional. You can still believe in the goodness of the Lord. This morning as I was praying, I started recounting the blessings of the Lord over the church. I found myself reciting back to the Lord the goodness of God towards us as a church. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I might not be where I would have wanted us to be, but I thank you that we are not where we used to be. We are on a journey. Lord, I thank you that the doors of the church are still open. And there are some people who still believe in what you're doing in our midst. Lord, we thank you that you've provided financially for this household of faith. Many churches have not been able to pay their bills. But today, we are here. It's not because we earn so much money here, but it's because God has been faithful. God has used each one of us here to ensure that there's food in the house of God. Glory be to God. What has been your journey? I want to remind you of the goodness of God. I travel almost every day. I travel 250 Ks a day to go in and out of work. And on that road, on N4, I have seen multiple accidents. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving through after Bronco Sprint, and a young man had driven into a truck. The front car flattened, and his body was there covered in aluminium foil. It had just happened. And I'm saying, Lord, you've looked after me. Lord, you've protected me. I wake up every morning, I'm able to face my wife. The Lord has kept her. I wake up every day, I'm able to go and see my kids. The Lord has kept them. I come back from work and there is food waiting for me at home. I'm saying this thing to remind you of the goodness of God. We've been able to pay our bills. The Lord has protected our house from burglaries. I still have faith in God. I'm full of hope for tomorrow. My mom was critically ill in March this year. We almost buried her. And I remember praying to the Lord and say, Lord, I haven't seen my mom for 4 years. Please don't take her just yet. I want to see her. And I remember making that prayer. I said, Lord, it's not her time. And I remember telling the Lord that that's not how she prayed. That's how she wants to die. From I was young, I remember my mom would always pray and say, Lord, the day I die, I don't want to die sick. That's her prayer. She's been saying, Lord, when I die, just take me peacefully. And I remember telling the Lord, because we took her into hospital, you know, and I'm like, no, she's not going to die in that state. That's not how she's been praying for. That's her faith. And I thank God this coming week I'm going to go see her. What am I saying this morning? The Lord has done you good. Do not ignore even the little things that God has done for you. You might have lost your loved one. But the fact that you're still able to lift your hands and say, Lord, you're good, it's something to be grateful for. I have seen people losing their faith and running away from God.